and other projects. So without further ado, turn it over to Mr. LaDuke.
Okay. This meeting here, the importance of what I'd like to accomplish tonight is probably of most value to me, and hopefully it'll be some value to you, but so we could go ahead and move forward on a number of projects and to give Glenn some direction and give the rest of the staff some direction. We wanted to present to you tonight the various projects, and this may not be all of them, but the various projects that we're working on to start giving you a feeling as to where we're at, where we believe we're going, and to allow some discussion to occur tonight to make sure we're on the right path. If we're not, then we're going to move in a different direction. If at the end of the time period at 7 o'clock we're not finished, and I believe we probably will not be just because of the number of projects, we could continue, if the meeting is short tonight, continue afterwards, or we could just go on to the 27th, whichever way you'd like to go forward. The first section that we're going to look at, and Glenn's just going to spend a few minutes going over the status report. If the first four or five pages is a report that you'll be getting on a regular basis, just to go ahead and inform you as to where we stand financially and on the direction of the projects. And then as we get into the projects themselves under Section B, then I will start talking about some of these since I'm a little bit more familiar than Glenn is on a number of these projects to get direction from Council. So Glenn, go ahead.
Thank you, Robert. First, I guess I should say, you know, you could have made a lot of money in Vegas, betting I would ever be back on this side of the podium a few months ago, probably. Didn't think that would happen, but I appreciate it. What we tried to put together for you, and you'll see in the memo, I'm just going to briefly run through that, but we've tried to give you something that's cumulative. I have worked with all the department heads. I've worked a lot with Kim Abney and a lot with George Grinton on these projects so that what you'll get each month is one report. You won't get different reports from different departments, and we'll work very closely on that. Starting in November, you'll probably get this at the second meeting each month. That way we've got time to make sure that the month closes out and we've got all those numbers. You're going to see just some upcoming events in there. We'll try to tell you when there's bid openings. We'll try to tell you when there's important construction going on, those kind of things. You'll see a very simple, fun summary. How much we budgeted, how much we've spent to date, and how much is balanced. Now, next month, you won't see the spent to date column. What we're going to change that out to is a spent in the previous month column. So you'll see where there's activity going on within those projects. Then there's a calendar, and the calendar just shows you the spend out of the money, and that will change. You know, as the projects start moving, ebbing and flowing, we'll change that out. Section B, I think, is what you're going to like. Section B is very much a narrative of each project, and we'll give you just a little bit of a highlight on each of those, and we're going to walk through most of those. But you'll just see, you know, what we think is the estimated budget to complete the project. You'll see some dates in there, the status of the project, where we are to date, and then the outlook, sort of what's coming up in the next month or so. As I mentioned, you're going to get it monthly. And we really think it's going to grow, obviously, as more projects we start brick-and-mortar type things. This will grow, and you'll see more in the report. The one thing I'm excited about, and I've met with IT and talked about this, we want to add a section to our city website to talk about capital projects, to keep the public updated on what we're doing. Sumter's got a very good one. Georgetown County, York County has some very good ones that Wes and I have looked at, so we're going to pattern ours off of those if you feel like that's good information to put out to the public and share that with them. So we'll be doing that. But just as you walk through the project real quick, you'll see, Sarah, go down a couple of pages to where it says upcoming events.
What page are you on now?
Right there, page 6. What we'll try to do under upcoming events each month is just, again, show you what's coming up. Well, we met with the Friends of Hopelands, the Bike Pedestrian Advisory Committee's got an upcoming meeting. There's a bid opening for Citizens Park coming up. And then you'll see in November, and maybe I should highlight the ones that really involve you guys, but in November, where we start the public input sessions for Eustace Park and the north side, on November 10th, we'll try to have a work session with council that evening just to talk about that, and that'll be the consultants coming in to do that. And then we know the urban land folks are coming in December 3rd, so we went ahead and put that on the calendar, so you'll have that for you.
When is the 11th and the 13th, are they the same, or?
They are not the same. The 11th, throughout the day, what you don't see on here, throughout the day, there's going to be a number of focus groups. And we've developed a list of tennis groups, pickleball groups, north side groups, neighborhood associations that we'll be meeting with. The Recreation Commission, the Senior Commission. Some of those groups will have 15, 20 minutes. Some of them may have an hour. We'll be meeting with those. On the 11th, that is a public meeting. Anyone is welcome to that. And they'll have a number of questions there that night. And what they use something called an eye clicker. And basically, they'll pass those around the room, and they'll take a survey, and you'll click your answers right there on the spot. And then Clemson will tabulate all those answers. Then on the 13th, that is when we'll hear the report back from Clemson, the results of what they've heard and their recommendations from the last few days of hearing from the public and hearing from the focus group.
So we don't know what what we're going to do in the senior/youth center, essentially?
We have our ideas, but this is to gather a good bit of the public's input, yes.
It's more programming.
Yeah, more programming, correct. I should have said that. Yeah, more programming in what you'd like to see.
Okay. Back up to item number one. Are we going to use the stables at Hopeland's? Or is that just a beautification project?
What we talked to the friends about is two things, safety and preservation. We would like to make them
safe. That's a better word.
Yeah. Make them as safe so that people can walk around and look at them. Right now, they're basically closed, pretty dangerous.
Right.
And then to preserve the look, that's what the Friends of Hopelands are would like to use the stables for.
Okay.
Glenn, are they still using the stables, like if someone has a wedding out there? Sometimes I've telling people to get dressed in that area. Do they still do that? I know years ago,
yeah.
I knew someone that had to use
it. I think, yes. I think since we built the new stage,
uh-huh.
The restrooms in there, they use those.
Okay.
They were dressing in the stables area?
They were dressing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bathroom
mm-hmm.
over in that stables area. They were dressing in.
Oh, usually they dressed upstairs in the flat patch.
They were actually using that. That was years ago.
Yeah.
I got married out there, but we actually were able to dress
mm-hmm.
on that behind the stage in that area back there that's locked off.
Yeah, they don't use that.
Yeah.
I got married out there too, but we came dressed.
Well, the gas came dressed.
The next couple of pages are. The one that says Section A is a very simple financial report. That's the one I was mentioning to you that will change next month. And then you'll see Fund 016 and Fund 017. These are the ones that finance generates. And this information is what I base all my numbers off of. Once I get these from Kim at her closeout at the end of the month, then we base everything through this report on these. And then there's the calendar. So at this point, Roger's going to start talking about individual projects.
You got any questions of Glenn of the first section before we get into the individual projects?
At some point, are we not going to decide that there's certain projects in CPS 3 that can't be done based on our assessment of how much money we're going to receive?
Yes.
I would say yes.
Again, I've given you some initial data. We're waiting for our payment in November to get one full calendar year of payments to be able to make a better projection. But staff has already projected out to 2019 how much money we believe we're going to get. And based on that, we feel that projects number around 20 and below will not be completed.
I think you had 17.
And that's shown on that, on the calendar. If you look at the calendar, the last five projects, we didn't project any funding on those projects.
Okay.
And those projects are University Parkway widening, land purchase, north side, public school sidewalks?
That is correct.
Yes, ma'am.
And we feel that probably project number 18, Hitchcock Parkway widening, is going to fall in, that there might be some partial funding, but without this last dollar amount, we're uncertain as far as our projections. And we'll get into some more of those details as we get into these projects.
Okay. Is this the appropriate time to talk about Capital 2 and 3 funding, or you want to...
I'd prefer to get into projects...
And then we'll come back to cash flow.
And then we'll come back to that, because...
It'll take a while when we get on that anyway.
I have an analysis of all that information as to currently, except for the north side or the Carlson Park area, that 1.495 million, everything else has been paid to date. So now we're looking, we'll get the money in November, and we're looking towards the money in February, what other projects are going to fall within that area, and that report will be given to you either probably at the next meeting.
Because we'll discuss it a little, because one of the projects is on the agenda tonight for approval, which...
Well, we're not asking to approve anything tonight. The fencing, which is probably what you're talking about, we'll get those bids and we'll have a much better idea. The fencing, let me get to these projects and then
we'll... I think
that might answer some of your questions. I'd like you to, Sarah, can you go to page 21? We're going to skip the CPST ones first and go to the other ones. And the reason for that is the CPST is more defined, and I believe these projects here that are on page 21 are ones that we really need to cover, because we haven't talked about some of these in great depth. But the whiskey at Doherty Road, this is one of those SIB projects. We had $900,000 proposed for that project, according to SIB, and we'll raise that to a fully funded. We hope to be able to get you the intergovernmental agreement for that individual project at the next meeting, and at that point, we will be ready to proceed. Right now, this project has been on hold since I came here in June. We stopped work on this project because we did not have a means as to how do we fully fund it. So the plans have been completed. They've been approved by SCDOT. The next step is to get the right-of-way. And once the right-of-way has been acquired, then we can start putting the final plans together and go off the bids. So we could potentially be starting up in the spring, because we don't believe there's a lot of right-of-way that's going to have to be acquired. So that's for that project. Any questions on that? Roger, ask questions as we go along.
Roger, one thing.
This is going to apply to any of these projects that are with the TIB or SCDOT. Don't we have to upfront the money, and then they'll reimburse us? Or are they going to give us money?
They'll reimburse us. We will have to pay the money first. Then we'll send in our invoices, and they'll pay us back. So there may be a 30 to 60 day delay.
So at some point, the city staff will have to come to council and say, we need a revolving account of $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, because right now,
in the past, when we've had these types of grants, or we've just used the cash in the checking account to write that check, and then knowing that we're going to get reimbursed a few months later.
Okay.
Hopefully, we'll get reimbursed within 30 days. But if you would prefer that we establish some money, we could do that. But
my concern is we're obviously going to have some turnover and city manager personnel, and one of the things that you and I talked about and I brought up at council is to be sure we establish a pattern for the next at least couple of years till we get reestablished with a new city manager. And I think to have these in writing is going to be a help 2 years from now when, you know, a couple of people like Reggie and Dick aren't here to remind you of these things.
And again, this is why we're trying to get the project status month by month so you'd have that information. But these projects, anything to do with the State Infrastructure Bank, or any other type of grants that we have, the typical way of paying for it is you pay up front and then you get reimbursed. But that's why we need this intergovernmental agreement, so that we're all on the same page as to how much SIB is going to be giving us and how much we'll get reimbursed for both university and for this project.
It's just such a large amount in a long period of time. I think these two projects would be good to document. The normal things that public safety does and all of the other departments, they're pretty low dollar and short term. And this would, could be go on for, especially university, go on for a couple of years.
Okay, and I'll work with Kim to answer that question next time we talk about this one.
Very good. Thank
Anything
you.
Anything else on this project?
A question. Do we understand correctly that the bowling alley is going to be destroyed, sold to someone else or whatever?
There are rumors that that could happen. It's not from us. We will not need to move the bowling alley for this project.
Right, I understand that, but there's no problem here. We'll have room and all that
stuff. We'll have room.
Okay.
Now, just I went by there this weekend, and there's cars parked on the north side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
They probably would not be able to park on the north side of the building when we finish this project.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The next one is the horse trails. An agreement was made with Woodside Developers that they were going to give us 25 feet and we would develop a horse trail. A large portion of this has been graded. We have got to a part or a portion where we have some wetlands that we can't get over them. So we're looking at getting some property or easements outside the fenced area of Woodside to get this trail around. They're not really being occupied. Some churches own this area, and so we're in discussions with them as to if you give us some property, they'll either lease it from you or there may have to be some payment for it. And so right now we're working on getting that land before we could proceed any further. And that would have to come back to council at some point to have you approve the easements that we'd be getting from those property owners.
Who would be on call to pay for the lease or the purchase with this association?
The city. This is going to be the city's horse trail, or this is the city's walking trail, or whatever trail you want to call this pathway that we'll be having throughout. And this is linking up with, my understanding, several other horse trails in Aiken County.
Is it GAIT, G-I-A-T, or G-A-I-T, the greater?
I think it's G-A-I-T.
Greater Aiken Integrated Trail System. And the trail is already around all along Anderson Pond in that area out there, and this adds, this ties it in. It gets it close to whatever's across Silver Bluff.
Yeah, to answer your question, we would prefer to probably come up with a sale so that we don't have to worry about continuing leasing a property like this. But again, we have to go ahead and work with those property owners. And again, we're only talking about trying to get enough property to get the trail through. Most of the other areas, 25 feet. We could get 10 to 15 feet maybe through this one area. So that's where we're at this point in time.
Is this a private trail or a public trail?
It's a public trail. My understanding, it's a public trail.
Oh, yeah. It's all, and the trail it ties into on both ends is all public and dedicated to public use for horses and walking. And I'm telling you what the GAIT people tell me.
And this was approved by council as part of our agreement with the reserve when it was annexed into the city of Aiken.
Do you know the distance of the trail?
Huh?
You know the distance of this trail?
The distance?
Yes.
It is, I don't know if Phil's not here, that this trail is, let's see.
You're talking about,
about two and a half throughout Aiken County. It's
about
throughout
Aiken County or just this one here?
This greater Aiken integrated trail.
Oh,
that's like 50, 60 miles of trails throughout the county. Yeah, this one will go from point A to point B and they'll have another one going from point C to D, and at one point in time, they'd like to see this all integrated together. but it's...
What is the name of that park right across Silver Bluff from Anderson Pond, or just down? There's a little... What is it?
Boyd Pond Park.
Yeah, Boyd Pond has a trail from there all the way down to Horse Creek, and there's about another couple of miles to go from Boyd's Pond to join into this, and the trail would be like 20, 25 miles long then.
Okay. These safe routes to school, these are sidewalks that are being placed in Carlson Park that go into the elementary and through middle school. The plans have been completed. We're trying to obtain the last couple of easements from some property owners. The Chesterfield Newberry storm drainage.
Before you get into that, Roger, can I ask a question? I was out at Crossing Park last week for the Walk Your Kid to School Day, and I see a lot of road work being done on several streets in Crossing Park. When is that expected to be completed?
George is not here. Do you know, sir?
It's the middle of next year, middle to September-ish, approximately a year from now. If that sewer work council approves, phases 6 through 10.
And it's going to take that long?
Yeah, because once they go ahead and get the sewer in the front, then they have to go ahead and work on moving the service lines from the backyard to the front yard. And then once all that work's done, we have a number of projects with SCDOT to pave those roads through using C funds. But we're delaying all that until the sewer work is completed. The Chesterfield Newberry storm drainage. If you have ever gone down the railroad track and looked, there are exposed storm drainage lines. Plus, we have done some camera work, and some of the pipes have rusted out. By the Wilcox, there has been documented slope failures in the past. We have asked through FEMA, through one of these grants that we talked about at the last meeting, to go ahead and to fix some of those areas. This is the preliminary study that was done looking at all the various alternatives. We received the study, I want to say, sometime around July, and we have asked several questions, and they're getting back to us. But again, this could potentially become a multi-million dollar liability and project for the city of Aiken. Because it's not just the Chesterfield Newberry. We're starting looking down South Boundary and some of these other areas at the feeder lines going into it, and a lot of it needs some future maintenance and repairs and probably replacement. And the last project that we have here is the Railroad Depot deck. Council in, I want to say it was July, August, put some additional funding in the 007 accommodation tax money to do the Railroad Depot deck. SciTech, I believe, has been awarded that project. They should be starting on it shortly. They had a meeting out there already. I would say by the end of the year, you'll have a nice looking deck out there for the work. So these are some of the projects that are not being funded through the CPST funds. I wanted to talk about those first, and then now we're going to turn back to the CPST, and Sarah, that's going to be on page 11. Okay, I'm going to cover some of these, and I'm going to go ahead and have Glenn cover some of the other ones. But since this is in the CPST, Councilmember Ebner had asked about the funding for it. So we put together a preliminary summary that Kim Abney and I looked at earlier today. As I stated, all the commitments that you had made previously on the CPST 3, funds have now come in August to pay back all those loans. However, there are two projects. One is Hitchcock Parkway and University Parkway, and as you recall, we were looking at those numbers, they're further down the list, No loan agreement has been made for those two projects, yet we have spent $331,851.04 on those projects. So at the next meeting, we're going to go ahead and ask you to develop a loan for these two projects. Now, that loan's going to be paid off probably in November or February, but again, we'd like to memorialize it or document it so that we can all see where the money came from and how it's going to be paid back. In addition to that, we have the loan payment that we want to make for Carlson Park to the Water and Sewer Fund. The Water and Sewer Fund, we borrowed money so that we could go ahead and buy property, build houses, renovate houses out in Carlson Park. They do have a value. The council has discussed paying back that loan. That loan is for $1,459,700. Again, that will be paid back from the $1,750,000 that's in the CPS 3 project that talks about the north side renovations. So again, that document will come back to you on the 27th, or 2 weeks from now, on these various loans. Some of the other commitments that we are looking at that were mentioned tonight was the Citizens Park fencing. The Citizens Park fencing, we either do it now or we wait till next year this time. You can't do fencing out there when there's tournaments and baseball and soccer and other events going on. So this is the ideal time to do the fencing. There is some safety issues as to why we'd like to do it now. Some of the areas, especially in the outfield and behind where the catcher is at, the fencing tends to curl up, and when that curls up, you have wires that if you slide into it or get close to it, you could cut yourself. And so there's some potential safety issues. We'd like to go ahead. Right now, we have bids out. We would be getting them in a couple of weeks. We'd like to go forward with it, and if that's the case, then we'd be coming back to you in November and saying we either could borrow the money or we could go ahead and pay for any improvements out of the November, February funds that come in. We each month get about every quarter we get about $1.3 million in. That's a key number, or about $5.2 million a year. So we're in a fortunate position where most cities and counties borrow money up front to pay for these improvements. We've been able to pay for them as they've come along and borrow from ourselves if needed. The expected $1.3 million that we'll receive in November and $1.3 we'll receive in February is $2.6 million. If we take all the project, Hitchcock Parkway, University Parkway, Carlson Park, the work we're going to be doing on this building, the fencing, we got a water tank that needs to be painted, that adds up to $2,633,000. Again, I'm throwing a lot of numbers. You'll get this at a future meeting. But we're very close to answer your question with having a full funding for all these projects and to pay back ourselves on the Carlson Park.
Roger, the fencing thing seems like to me that it needs to be done. If it's also a safety issue.
It could
so,
be.
So
yes.
What's holding that? What would hold that up?
Well, the fact that the CP fencing, we currently don't have all the money just sitting there waiting for it.
But you said we could borrow money.
Yeah,
and
we could borrow
it
just like we're doing the loans in these
right.
other areas.
Yeah, we do that.
Pay ourselves back.
Yeah, sure.
All I'm saying is that by February we would have enough money for the fencing. And typically by the time you bid, you get a contractor to go out there and do the work gets done, they submit a bill. We probably are very close time-wise to having the money available. But to be on the safe side, we can go ahead and do an intergovernmental loan agreement to move that project forward.
Well, if you think it's really necessary for several reasons, number one, the safety of the kids playing, then that's enough to tell me we need to do it as soon as possible. Now, if it's not that urgent, that's something else.
If a child was back there, and let's say I'm a catcher and I want to catch a foul ball and I slide back into that fence, yeah, somebody could potentially get hurt. Is that going to happen?
Well,
so far we've been fortunate it hasn't happened.
That's right.
But, you know,
Kim reminded me also earlier, we have a huge World Series coming in here next summer that will be on that complex. it would look nice aesthetically to have that done.
Sure, yeah.
So all I'm saying is if you don't do it now, you can't do it in the spring and summer.
Well, can't we settle on this right now? Bring something to us that we can do it now?
So I'm just saying that. Yeah. You know, I was trying to answer Councilmember Ebner's question. We have stables. We have alley work. And so we're going to list all these various projects that you may have.
Okay.
Well, I guess it's okay for... I would like to see that spreadsheet, and my the numbers I have, which are about 3 months out of date, you know, verify what you're saying. By February, we would have everything back on a cash basis. And so if you take the cash flow of the sewer line work, which continues out until the middle of next year, you know, the money, the cash is in the bank to do it. Is that what you're intending to do, or do we...
To be on the safe side, I think we have to do some intergovernmental loan agreements.
Okay. I'd rather do that because
do have the cash, then we pay it back right away.
Pay it back.
Right.
And please write it up like we did the last ones. It's not a 7-year payout. It's when the money comes in.
Yeah. And I would expect by the worst case scenario, it would be made that you'd pay it back.
Yeah. So, but to be sure it's no interest rate, pay it back, and so forth.
Page 11, sir, I think you're not quite it. So the first project is Doherty to Aiken Mall. That project is essentially ready to go. We're setting up a meeting with Publix and the realtors for that area. We have had the traffic engineer look at it, make a number of changes to it, and so it's just a matter of setting up that meeting to move forward. The only question we have is the house that's there. At one time, either city council or somebody said we need to tear down the house. We've looked at it. The house, it's a brick house. It's a fairly sound house. And already I've had someone come to me and said, we'll make an offer on the house if you don't tear it down. And there's enough room in there between where the new road's going to go and the house. It's going to cost us $10,000 to tear down. It would make sense to me to keep the house if we don't have to tear it down. And if we tore it down, then we'd have to maintain the lot. So anyways, we'll come back to you with that information, but that's where we're at from a preliminary basis.
So you think at the next meeting you'll have that offer, or do we need to vote you to make an offer?
I want to go ahead and work with Publix and make sure everything is okay there before we even go to that point. And then I believe council has an agreement that anytime we sell property, we give a 30 days, put a for sale sign up there, so that it's not just one person going ahead and making an offer, and it looks like we're just trying to do something with one person only.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
So the contractor for this is whom?
There is no contract because we have not let the project. We have to go to Publix and make sure that they're happy with a new layout of the parking lot. Okay, street resurfacing, that's just projects that are ongoing. Hitchcock Woods erosion, we have money to do a number of things. We're waiting on Gene Eitzen. Most of you were in that meeting that we had with him. Whiskey Road sidewalk curb and gutter. Let me just spend a little bit of time on that one because it's something that we've been working on for several years. We originally, I want to say about 2009-2010, during that recessionary period, the federal government said, here's $500,000 to use on some major project. And we looked at it and said, this is a great project. We could just put this pipe in the ground very quickly. And then it got bogged down because the highway department says, no, you can't just put pipe in the ground because even though we have a 24-inch or 36-inch culvert underneath these driveways, it's got to be enlarged to a much larger pipe than what's currently in the ground, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's what the highway department wanted us to do. We started doing the hydrology studies, went down to George's Pond. The council has purchased that property. And again, the highway department said, based on the volumes from this entire area, you're going to need to double the size of George's Pond. You're going to have to go ahead and take Lowe's Pond and add that together. Then we start talking to the county, and we're going to be releasing water from these two ponds for several days in a row. It's just going to continue flowing out, because that's how detention works, rises up and then slowly goes down. The long and the short of it is, this project's going to be probably a $5 million or more project to do all the work that needs to be done from Powderhouse Road back up to Centennial. We don't have the money. We don't have the funds. We have put this project on hold. We have asked the designer, Tilden Hildebrand, to give a synopsis of it, put it all on a disc so that some point in the future, when we get the money to do this project, it's going to have to be an inter-city-county agreement to do this work. That at that point in time, we'll go ahead and resurrect that project. So I'm saying this tonight so that I can now go back to the Highway Department and let them know that we've had to put it on hold. I know that I've gotten calls from Senator Young concerning this project and other folks, and we just don't have the funding to do the work. And so this project is now currently on hold.
Have we asked Senator Young whether he could access additional funding for this project?
He is willing to go ahead and try to find some funding, but not to this magnitude. And the county is going to have to come up with probably another $5 million on how to take care of the water from Powderhouse back towards George's Pond and from Powderhouse downstream. For those that were here in 1990, there was a major rainstorm, and people were in boats in the back of the yards. Mm-hmm. I said Crawls and Park. College Acres,
right.
I'm sorry. So College Acres was flooded out entirely. And so we know there's a problem. It's just going to take a unique, long-term, expensive solution. So again, that project is on hold.
Okay.
Next page is downtown streetscape. There's $45,000 left. I believe the best use of that money is going to be on the alley project. And I'm going to skip down to the very bottom of that page. Underground utilities. Right now, we have asked SC&G to take the lead on undergrounding the wiring in the alley right behind this building. They feel they can maybe bore it. They may be able to just dig a trench. So their goal is in January and February of next year to totally underground the alleyway. And then we will start doing some drainage work maybe during that time, but more than likely we'll be waiting till after the Masters and the Triple Crown and those types of events to start doing the work from the ground on up in that area. And so this $45,000 would be used for doing some of that work.
Before you go to the next one, I think you mentioned before they're only putting the conduits in or the sleeves in for the cable. They're not tying all of this stuff in, or are they?
The intention would be that once they could get all the conduit in, then they would do the wiring almost immediately.
All right. And then I thought we had to use the transformer that we have. Are you familiar with that scenario?
Yes.
To use the existing transformer, we have to change three, four, or five businesses to 440 versus 220.
Correct. And that's a part that the city will be involved with, having to pay for some of those improvements. We are going around probably next month with an individual electrician on each one of these businesses. There's five or six businesses that are on I believe it's 240, 480, and we're going to go to a 208, 408 voltage that is compatible with the transformer that's currently out here.
All right, so that would tie in, so probably by the March time frame, the poles and stuff would disappear.
That's the goal. That's what we'd like to see. Again, if all they got the conduit down, and then they had to wait till June to start the rest of it. But we're going to try to get it all done in January and February. That's the idea. Okay, I'm going to turn the rest, because most of these other things are involved parts, to Glenn.
Just quickly on the open space and greenways, you know, we're out there looking. If we come upon some property, there was a plan done several years back that talked about preserving open space from I-20 down towards Shaw's Creek. We did meet with the Aiken County Soil and Water Conservation District. They're obviously interested in preserving the Shaw's Creek Basin, so they may have access to some funds that we didn't we weren't aware of. Citizens Park Maintenance Center, that one's basically done. There's a small amount of money left there that PRT does think they can light one more of the areas out there, the warehouses, and they'll spend that little amount of money. Eustis Park Senior Youth Center, on the next page, as you know, we've got this coming up in November. The study, and Clemson will be talking about that. We have had some preliminary looks at, you know, the money that's in, that you see now, the $950,000, what we could do with that money if we chose just to use that money for Eustis Park. We're comfortable with what we can do down there. But we could basically, with the $950,000, taking into account site work, all those kind of things, the parking lot, we could basically work into about a 7,000 square foot building. We could seat in one part around 140 people to 180 people, depending on how you set up the tables, whether it's, you know, round tables or buffet style. Meeting rooms, a stage, fitness room, sort of a multi-purpose room, and that's about what you would have within the 7,000 square feet. I do. Well, sure.
That, you're talking about just the $1 million figure, not the four.
That's correct.
That's, yes, sir.
But I thought the two went together.
Well, we own
that.
I thought the Eustis Parks Senior / Youth Center was a combined facility. Are we talking about two separate?
That's correct. No, it is.
So the design work is being done by Cheatham Fletcher.
Correct.
And that's not her. How much is that?
Is that coming up on the screen?
It's up on the screen.
It's up
here.
On the screen. Yeah.
The 950 is for the building and everything at this point.
You got it.
And that's the building you see there. That doesn't include any of the money in the 017 funds.
Which could be available if you need it. What we're trying to look at, if we could do everything you all want with this building, then the money that's in the CPST 3 could then be used towards the Northside Park.
Roger, that's unacceptable. I'm being kind about this. These folks have waited and waited and waited, and they deserve a quality building
right. That
the voters voted for this area.
So this is not what you're looking for?
No.
Okay.
We can talk about that later during our community meetings, but that's not.
This money was in CPST 16 for land acquisition, and the $3.5 million in 17 was for the building, I thought.
Well, we can approach it that way from this point forward. And
I'm not interested in changing what the voters approved.
Right.
I thought that's what it was. First, we were going to spend $1 million buying the land, and then we were going to do the building.
Well, we don't have to buy the land because we. Are we buying some of the school district's property?
Right now, it's not available.
Well, that's
not. If it becomes available, then I think the original plan, you know, was to build the facility on that corner where the school district currently has property.
I think we need a meeting with that because I'm hearing different things.
Okay. And that's what the November 10 meeting with council is all about.
Okay.
Then the next project on there is the Northside Park. Same thing there. With when Clemson comes, we'll determine what type of programs will go into that. And then once we hear from them and once we hear from the public what you want in that park, then we can start developing plans for what that park should look like.
Well, Glenn, I can tell you, if I have my way, my plans are not to ever put a recreational park on that landfill. I met with a gentleman who owns a business here in Aiken who wants to utilize the landfill, and I met with Roger met with him as well, and so did Lassie. And the proposal he has would save the city money but also create 20 jobs. That I want to bring him to council and let him present the information to all of you.
Okay.
But my desire is never to put a recreational park on the landfill. I don't know who came up with that bright idea, but it just doesn't sound pleasing to me, because I don't think you can guarantee, DHEC can't guarantee, nobody else as far as I'm concerned, that there's no contamination left on that site.
And if that's the consensus, what we can do is take that money coupled with the $2 million, two projects down, just as Northside Recreation, depending on what you do at Eustis Park, if we go forward with the money out of the 017 to go to Eustis Park, then we've got 4.75 to do a Northside Park. Now, Mr. Ebner and I rode the landfill one day, and I think most of you would agree we need to decide how to keep the landfill, how to secure it and close it in.
And this would be an answer.
And then go away, so, and then we would move away from it.
I think Roger will agree with me after meeting with the gentleman that this could be an answer.
If you look at what Glenn has up here, it says several design firms looked at it, and this project can offer to clean up and design options. So our current plans are to finish environmental cleanup at the landfill. We're not looking at building a park there. We'd like to clean it up.
I don't know about
then,
ever.
I don't know about ever. My goodness, are you the DHEC? Do they clean it up, and since they cleaned up, the DHEC satisfaction?
I don't want a recreational facility on a landfill,
and I think most of the residents in that area
would agree with me, Dick.
Let's see what Roger's thoughts were on this. You started to say.
The intent right now is to take the former landfill and to secure it and get it cleaned up. That means that some of the fencing that's around the entire landfill may have to go ahead and be resurrected. There is a lower portion where the city had a recycling center at one time, and we are talking right now to a potential recycler to possibly do something with the lower portion. So there's probably about 5 acres in there. The other 60 acres at this point in time would just close it up and secure it. And if council 50 years from now or 20 years from now wants to do something with that, certainly they could. But right now the intent would be the recreational center that we're going to be looking at on the north side would more than likely be in another location. But again, that's where Clemson's going to come down and discuss that with the citizens and other groups within the area as to what do we want there from a program standpoint, the Northside Recreational Park, and, you know, also talk a little bit about locations, but location's going to be more a fit on how many acres do we need. For instance, if you want to have something similar to Virginia Acres is what many people think of Odell Weeks. Odell Weeks is the building, Virginia Acres is the property. That is how many acres?
42 or something.
So you need at least 40 acres just for that alone. So you're talking about a sizable piece of property that we're going to be having to acquire on the north side if we're going to look at future expansion. But right now the intent is not on this piece of property, which then frees up money for council to use for other things.
And I'd like to apologize to Glenn. I didn't mean to yell at you. I was just expressing my opinion.
I understand.
No, Glenn, what would, and I don't know the square footage of the old Odell Weeks.
$25,000. The original Odell Weeks was about $25,000.
What would that cost roughly right now, given square footage of?
$120 to $125 a square foot.
Looks
low end.
Over $3 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before you pave it or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
The bike pass. You can read in here. Tom Lex. I met with him. He made a recommendation to you guys about Hain Avenue when he was here previously. That's just in here, but I am working with them because there is still money there, and they have a priority list that they'd like to see some things done. Then we flip to the 017.
If you look at the bike thing, the question came up at the meeting on September the 8th about the bike path on Hain Avenue, and their recommendation is, just get rid of the white line. Since there's the conflict on parking versus bike path, keep the symbols there, get rid of the white line. And so if council has no problem, that's what we would probably propose to do.
So they would still be able to park
if the white line was removed, the symbols would just say that you're sharing the lane for biking and parking and residents in that area.
Yeah, I think that's very acceptable.
And that's what the
five or six people asked for.
Okay, just quickly through these in 017 for the next couple, 3 minutes. Public safety laptop computers are done. We've talked about Eustis Park. The playground's done. I met with the Friends of Hopelands last week. We talked about the stables and what we'd like to do there. We've got a decision to make on the fence at Citizens Park. The canopy has been done. That was part of the original, but they did that in-house.
Okay, back to stables. One of the things that was asked about the use of the stables, I've been talking to a couple of people concerning that. And we will have to, once the stables are completed, council will have to make a decision. Do we ever want to lease or rent out those stables on occasion? Not on a current basis, but as visitors come into our community, is that an opportunity for them, or is there other locations they can go to?
Public safety training grounds is down the road a little bit. Public safety's still got to work to define their scope. The library park's done. You want to talk about North Side Renewal?
Again, on the North Side Renewal, the transfer that we had made, we will be coming back to you to pay that off during this next time period, probably with the money that we receive November. Might be enough money, it might be February. So again, that's allocated to pay off that $1,400,000+. The rest of the money then we'll have available, and once we talk to ULI and get some ideas, we could decide what we want to do with that money. Plus, tonight we have a sale of a piece of property, and we have some other pieces of property out there that we certainly intend that will be sold at some point in time. So some funding will come back into that balance.
And the water, Roger's already talked a little bit about the infrastructure water. The Lloydtown water tank is coming up. There's a little bit of work left to be done on Mohawk Drive. Sewer projects, we've got the Jim Lakes outfall, the Woodside lift station that's coming up. Street resurfacing, just it's a continuation of what we started in 016. Curbing, we're going to have to define a scope there to see what we need to be done, working with you there. The animal shelter's done. The walking trail, PRT has a preliminary plan of what they want to do with the trail, and that'll come up about 3 years down the road. About the municipal building.
Is there any other questions that we have? I think time has run out, and but we were able to cover most of these projects. And again, Glenwood, we continue to update this on a regular basis, and certainly is available at any time. Council needs to meet with him on it.
Just quickly here with the North Side Recreation with Terry Park, is it possible to have that done by the end of by the summer of 2015?
You talking about the restroom facility?
Yes.
I've met with them, Mr. Shipman with the school district. Mm-hmm. We've got a preliminary plan. We've got to have an architect draw those plans because it's on school grounds, it
right.
has to be approved by the name of the board that has to approve it. He said once those plans are submitted, that is a 12 to 14 week wait. So as soon as we get those back, though, we can go ahead and do that project. But he and I are on the same page as far as what we want. We've got to work out where we want it.
Mm-hmm.
The Recreation Commission has made a recommendation, and we won't have anything prior to the next time we come back and report to you, so I'll show you the location of where they want it next time.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Roger, for that. I'd like to close out our work session. And I'd like to take a five-minute break, if that's okay with everybody. Okay. Since we've been sitting at this for an hour, and then we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our council meeting tonight. And as I call the meeting to order, just a couple of things to let you know. You may speak, if you'd like, on the items that are on the agenda. If you do want to speak, please try to hold it to 4 or 5 minutes, if you would. And we'll have council prayer and Pledge of Allegiance to our flag at this time.
Almighty Heavenly Father, let me first say thank you on behalf of all who are gathered here today. Thank you for your many and abundant blessings. Thank you for life itself and for the health you have given us to fulfill our chosen paths. Thank you for the ability to be involved in useful work and for the honor of bearing these and our other responsibilities. As we gather here tonight, I pray for our mayor, for all of our city staff and officials, and for this assembled council. I'm asking that you would graciously grant us the wisdom to govern amid the conflicting interests and issues of our times, a sense of the welfare to the true needs of our people, a keen thirst for justice and rightness, confidence in what is good and right, the ability to work together in harmony even when there is honest disagreement, and personal peace in our lives and joy in our tasks. All of this we ask for the benefit of our city of Aiken and all of its people. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I didn't say it, and I don't think I did. It sure is good to see everybody here this evening.
Great.
Several wonderful things, and got a good agenda this evening. Are there any additions or deletions to our agenda this evening? If not, we'll move on. First item of business is the minutes, all the minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the work session of September 17th, 18th, 22nd, 29th, 2014, and the work session and regular meeting of September 22nd, 2014. Do we have a motion in the second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we have.
I second.
Okay, any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. In the September 29th minutes is when we discussed the contract issues for the Hitchcock Parkway and stuff that where money was spent and working on procedures. I've had some email discussions as well as verbal discussions with the city attorney and the city manager. And I've asked for some data that they're going to provide me on the cost reports and so forth. So I have a memo here which I've sent to them that I'm going to ask to be put in the minutes.
Okay. Fine.
That's it. Thank you.
Fine. Okay. Show of hands then for approval of the minutes. Passed unanimously. Okay. Under presentations, we're very fortunate to have two this evening. First one is a presentation of the 2014 Strom Thurmond Award to Chief Charles Branco. Mr. Bidu.
Yeah, we're very proud and very honored to have our chief be recognized with the Strom Thurmond Award. Once a year, the state of South Carolina recognizes an individual within our state who has performed in an excellent manner throughout their career in law enforcement. Chief Branco has been in law enforcement since 1993 for 23 years and has started with the city of Aiken and has a long distinguished career. And he was awarded this year with the Strom Thurmond Award, obviously after our late senator. And we'd like to recognize him today. Even though he got this award in Columbia, we felt it was only proper and right to have Chief Branco come forward tonight and to thank him and to honor him and to congratulate him for this event.
We'd like him to come up.
like to say just a few words. Chief, we're so proud of you. We're proud of the whole team, whole public safety team. And, you know, it's wonderful to have such a great group working together. And I know that it takes everybody working together to be successful, no matter what we do. And you certainly proved to be a wonderful leader. And I think pull the team together real well. We've had some ups and downs here recently, but I think most of the thing is up now. And we want to continue that way, of course. And we really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
And what you've done. And for the whole team, I know Beth is here too, and I'd like for her to stand. And we know who the boss of the family is, at least I do in my family. And I think we probably all agree, man, when we do that. But just keep up the good work. It's been really been an improvement since we got in the safe community. And you were right in the home front on that. And Ms. Price introduced it to you, I think. And y'all went up to North Carolina and looked and saw what they were doing and brought it back. And that has really proven to be a wonderful thing.
Yes.
And I wish we had time to go into that, because some of you may not know what that's all about. But let me just tell you, it's taken the worst of the worst every quarter or so in this room. And they're sitting out here, 14 or so of them. These are people that are offenders in the worst way. And with all the folks sitting up here, not these folks, but I'm talking about the judges, you know, all the way from the bottom to the top of law enforcement people. And if you haven't seen that, it's an amazing thing. And they're talking right to these people. Right?
Yes, sir.
And you're up there talking to them and telling them if they commit a crime again, they're going to go right to the courts. It's not going to take 2 or 3 years to get there. And they're going to go right there quickly. And it's been proven. I think it took one of them maybe 3 weeks to get back in jail and for a long time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I thank you again for all you do and
thank
for
you.
all the public safety folks, what they're doing. Would you like to say it?
I would. Thank you. And what the mayor is discussing, the most important part of that component is our community and the working relationship that we have with our community. So hats off to you as well. I can't stand up here without thanking council and the support that you guys have given to public safety, and really my family, my wife, and my public safety family, too. The hard work that they do every day, in and out, as Mr. DeWar said earlier, it's with the good and the bad, and you're exactly right, but it's an honor to serve with public safety day in and day out. So thank you very much.
If you don't mind, while the chief is shaking hands, I'd like to add that the chief has a new name in this town, and he's affectionately known. The chief is affectionately known right now as our praying chief. And the reason he's known as our praying chief is that last week he met with some new business folks that just established their business. And he asked them before departure if they would mind him praying with these three females and give a blessing to their success. And when he left, they said, I've never seen a chief pray. He's our praying chief. So he's known as the praying chief, affectionately known as our praying chief in this town. So thank you, chief, for doing that for them. And I'm sure that they sincerely appreciated that.
Again, just keep up the good work. Public safety, you're doing a great job. And all we have to do is look at the statistics. We had some bad years several years ago, but things are really looking good, as they can. We're always going to have some crime, and we know that. But I think it's being held down and really on the ball right now. So thank you so much for your efforts. Appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor, and to members of City Council, and to the honoree of the evening, Chief Barranco. On behalf of the Concerned Ministers Fellowship of Aiken and its president, Reverend Paul Bush, who could not be here tonight, we congratulate you on being awarded the prestigious Strom Thurmond Award. And we thank you for doing what you do best, and that is keeping the citizens of Aiken safe. Again, congratulations and thank you.
Let me just say, if there's anyone else out there that would like to say anything, you're certainly welcome to do that. Okay, we'll move on now. Item 2 is a presentation of the Champion Award individual for the City of Aiken by Aiken, South Carolina Recreation and Parks Division. Who's making that?
First of all, I'd like to recognize Jeff Metz. Jeff is the new president of the South Carolina Parks Recreation Association, and he has as one of his first official duties as the president, he gets to honor one of our own here, Loretta and Mike Beckner, for what they did. So, Jeff?
Right. Mayor and Council, thank you for having us. On behalf of the South Carolina Recreation and Parks Association, each year we honor a champion for our community, and that basically highlights a volunteer within our state that's done an exceptional job in really promoting quality of life within their community. And we have Mike and Loretta Beckner here tonight. In 2010, they came to us and introduced the sport of pickleball. And Glenn Parker and I looked at each other and said, what in the world are they talking about? But tonight, you can see kind of what's come about since then. Almost this entire section over here, the Aiken Piccadillys, are here in support of them. But Mike and Loretta came and met with us, and we started this. They play their games at Odell Weeks. Jessica Campbell has helped organize that group. We have 9 indoor courts, and now we just put the lines on our outdoor tennis courts. It's a booming group. There's over 200 folks that registered to play. It's really brought our senior community together, and now there's even a lot of young folks getting in the game and playing. It really offers an alternative to those that want to try something other than tennis. The last 2 years, we've helped do a tournament with Mike and Loretta. We had over 140 participants this year. We had folks from Scotland and 10 other states here to play in our event. And so it's really taken off. And I'll say this just personally, because I know them pretty well. They don't mind beating you on the court, but when you walk away, you feel like you walked away as a friend of Mike and Loretta Beckner. And tonight, we'd like to recognize those folks. Yes. Say just a word.
council members. Loretta and I gratefully accept this honor on a personal level, as we've been very active in promoting the great sport with a funny name, and we're truly honored. Thank you very much. But having said all that, and more importantly, we want to point out that we believe this award is as much for the city of Aiken as it is for us. Without the support of all the staff of PRT, beginning with Glenn Parker in a previous life, not sure if he's still here, Jeff Metz, of course, Kim Coleman, and Jessica Campbell, this award would not have been possible at all. Secondly, we believe this award is an affirmation of the leadership exhibited by those who represent Aiken City government and who set the tone by encouraging their employees to think outside the box and maybe take a chance when it comes to furthering the best interests of Aiken. This is a wonderful city, and we're privileged to live here. And last, but certainly not least...
So now I take over. Well, anyway, the city was so good. They gave us the a venue to play. They gave us all the equipment we needed, but we needed players. And so that's where all these people come in, and a lot of people who aren't here tonight who came and gave pickleball a try. We could have never gotten where we are without all of you. You brought new players after you got hooked to the sport, and all of you have welcomed everyone so nicely and so warmly, and it's made a big difference to our program. To the point now where we're organized and we call ourselves the Aiken Piccadillys. So to all of our Aiken Piccadillys who are here and not here tonight, we just want you to know this award is not only because of you, but it's also for you. Thank you.
Do you have any more room down there for more players? Under old business, item one is approval of appointments and discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have three appointments to make for tonight. Councilmember Mary would like to recommend the reappointment of Susan Haslip to the Recreation Committee. And we would also like to recommend David Myers to the Park Commission. Councilmember Price would like to recommend William Cascani to the General Aviation Commission. So for tonight, we have these three appointments, and Council could take them one at a time or all together.
Okay, thank you. Why don't we take them all at a time? We usually do. Do we
have a motion? I so move approval, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I second.
A second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Okay. Nominations for next meeting?
I have one, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
For the accommodations tax. I have a person to come off of that. So I would like to recommend Dr. Barbara Bing, B-I-N-G.
Okay. Are there any others?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to nominate Liz Neal to the Senior Commission. I don't know whether she was here tonight, is here tonight. Apparently not, but I'd like to nominate her for the Senior Commission.
Okay. Any others? Well, I have one, and it just so happens to be Michael Beckner, who was just up here. So he's going to be a part of the Recreation Department. So we'll have that on our agenda two weeks from now, along with the others that have been mentioned. Okay. Do I Item 2, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for property owned by University Healthcare System located at 1021 Silver Bluff Road. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, I'm going to read this ordinance by its title. It's the ordinance amending the concept plan for property owned by GMK Associates Incorporated, University Health Service, and located at 1021 Silver Bluff Road. Council received this information first reading at your last meeting. There are a number of conditions that we discussed at the first meeting, 12 to be exact. I'm not going to reread them unless you want to talk about anything specifically. This project originally came to the city in 2009. There was going to be three larger buildings. We now have one building that is there that's much smaller in scope, and so it's a reduced footprint. And for your consideration tonight, this is the approval on second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the concept plan for property owned by GMK Associates located at 1021 Silver Bluff Road as per the drawings that they gave you within the package.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I know there's one gentleman in the audience that would like to speak on this issue. If he would come up and tell us your name and how you fit in to this.
My name is Joe Roddy. I'm a GMK from Columbia. We're the architect, engineer, design builder for the project with Skyline City with University Healthcare Systems. We're really here to answer any questions that you might have. We did submit a site plan based on the 12 conditions from the planning department. I think got that in your package in front of you. And we had no problem with any of the 12 conditions, and will meet, or have met, or will meet based on the timing. So,
okay. Well, I do have one quick question, Mr. Mayor. There's a lot of land left over on this. Do y'all have future plans for expansion, more buildings, or what's the rest of that land going to be? Just remain vacant. Yeah,
the only plan we have right now is built into the drawings you see right now. There is a layout for an expansion of potentially a primary care practice to be attached to that. That is the only plans that we have for that land right now. When we originally purchased that land, the healthcare environment was very different. And so a lot has changed over the last 5 years. And so really the move for the Affordable Care Act has really been more focused on primary care and access points. So we changed our strategic plan for that land to accommodate that. So at this point in time, there is no other plans to do anything with that land. You know, healthcare changes all the time, so we never know. But that is the only plans we have at this point in time.
Any comments, questions? Okay, well, thank you very much. Do we have a motion and a second?
I so move. Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion by council? No. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for being with us. Item 3, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex 475 Town Creek Road and zone it RS-15, residential single family. Do we have a motion and a second for that?
Move, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Item 4 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding sign visibility and trees. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, I'm going to read this by its title. It's an ordinance amending the City of Aiken zoning ordinance regarding sign visibility and trees. This has come before you on more than one occasion. We believe that this time the Planning Commission and the Planning Department have it right to cover all the different bases. But again, that's subject to change once we get the next request in to make signs more visible. So we appreciate Council's patience as we work through this process. And tonight we're asking you to approve on second reading and public hearing an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding the sign visibility in trees.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second for that?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay. Discussion?
Just to echo what the city manager said, we've come a long way with this, and I think it's a good move. I hope it works.
Yeah.
If not, it'll come back. Right. For businesses that they be seen, so.
Always massage a little bit, can't we? Okay. We've got a motion and second. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 5, second reading public hearing of an ordinance to approve the sale of 1143 Alderman Street Northeast. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. The title is an ordinance approving the sale of 1143 Alderman Street. This property and other properties in Carlson Park, obviously there is a lot of history and a lot of discussion. We started off with the prices being much higher. The market conditions have changed since we started with that project, and we've seen a decline in the level of prices as far as the appraisal is concerned of property in Carlson Park. We originally had an offer of $70,000 for this property, but the appraisal, which is what the bank has used for the sale of this, came in at $62,000. After looking at this and looking at the improvements that have been made on the property, we still feel like this is an offer that we are recommending council to accept. We have a realtor here tonight. The individuals that are hoping to buy the property are also here tonight, so if you had any questions. But staff is recommending that council would approve on second reading and public hearing an ordinance to sell property 1143 Alderman Street to Michael and Barbara Couch for $62,000 under the terms and conditions of the purchase and sale agreement that you have before you.
Okay, sir, thank you. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
I so move.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Second, okay. Discussion?
Okay, quick question. The previous house we sold appraised for more, did it not? The previous house that I know that the last appraisal that we had on 1407 Aldridge came in at either 65 or 68.
I think it was 68.
And so that one, right now, the appraisal is being done on that property. Again, that was in the spring. We now have a new person that would like to buy it. But that one has a few more amenities than this one over here. Okay. All right. I just had noticed that this was less, and I was wondering what... They're similar, but they're less amenities on this one than the other place. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Would the owners please stand up and let us know? Very good. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, Dale Couch and I graduated from Aiken High School together, and I'm very proud to see him purchase this home.
Him after the meeting.
Good. Anything you want to tell us about her during the high school days?
I have the microphone.
Remember, we're on TV right now.
I just paid him to say that.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Under new business, first reading of an ordinance renewing the lease with the Aiken Garden Club Council for the dollhouse at Hopeman's Gardens. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, this I'll read it by title. It's an ordinance authorizing the extension of the lease between the City of Aiken and the Aiken Garden Club Council concerning the operation of the dollhouse located in Hopeman Gardens. In 1974, council had a lease agreement with them. It's been a good agreement. They have done a number of improvements, kept up the property, opened it up on several times during the year, and we feel this arrangement has worked well for the city in the past, and we would like to continue with this similar arrangement. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading and public hearing of an ordinance to renew the lease with Aiken Garden Club for the dollhouse through September 30th, 2034.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I so move.
Second.
All right, discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Okay. Item 2 is approval of a warranty contract with Rhythm Engineering for Whiskey Road traffic signals. Mr. LeDuc.
This is a contractual agreement. For those that were on council since 2009, we've spent over $1 million on the new traffic signals and a coordination of these signals from all the way at South Boundary to the Powderhouse Road area.
we had a contractual agreement at that time with Rhythm Engineering to help maintain those signals. Obviously, there's a lot of coordination and computerized work that goes into this. I started getting some calls shortly after I came back to the city concerning some issues with that signalization, and found out that the engineering agreement that ended in May, for whatever reason, was not renewed. And so we're asking tonight that council renew this agreement. We could do it for 1 year or 3 years. We're recommending 3 years, and the reason 3 years is it then guarantees the price for this work over the next 3 years. Although if you divided that number of $38,250 by three, it's just a multiplication method. We do get paid back by the state of South Carolina for help with maintaining all the signals. It's over $100,000 is what we receive. Now, not just for these 17, but for all the signals within the city of Aiken. So there is some reimbursement for this money. We have included the budget account that it would normally have come from. $2,150 is the maintenance operation in public safety, and they're over this. And so we are asking for your consideration tonight the approval of a warranty contract with Rhythm Engineering for maintenance of the traffic signals at 17 intersections along Whiskey Road corridors at a cost of $38,250 for a 3-year period.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved.
Okay. Is that a second?
Well, I have had a question.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, we've got a second. Yes.
Rhythm Engineering is out of Kansas.
That is correct.
There's no place local that does this thing?
This is a very unique conceptual thing that on the signal coordinations using the cameras. When we built it, we were the first in the state of South Carolina. So it is a unique thing. We could certainly in the future look for someone, but since they are the ones that helped to develop and to coordinate the installation of this, we felt it's best at this point in time to stay with them.
Do they have a local representative that tells them when the situation changes that they can make changes to their algorithms?
I'll let our chief answer that question.
Are they purely hang on the signaling, or are they...
Basically, everything is done remotely. And again, everything's tied into a central computer system, and then remotely is how they work on things.
But you referenced maintaining the signals themselves. I mean, they aren't the ones that come out and repair it when it's broken.
No, not the actual signal itself. This is
just the changing of the colors, changing of the lights.
Changing the colors.
This is software that's involved in that kind of stuff. Answering Mr. DeWar's question, there's not a local representative. They monitor our system from Kansas, actually. They can dial into our system, fix any of the programming problems that we have with a phone call. Of course, a little behind time sometimes, an hour or so behind us, but we've had very good cooperation with this project.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Chief, if I'm not mistaken, Columbia County had this a couple of years ago, and we looked at that.
Yes, sir.
And to make sure that it was working fine with them.
Yes, that is correct.
And then we brought it to Aiken. And I tell you, there's sometimes I would hope that most everybody thinks it's a good system, but there are times when you can go all the way from downtown, just about out to way past the Red Lobster and all, without stopping.
When it's working correctly, yes, sir.
That's right. I'm sure there are other times as well, but I've caught some of those good times as well,
And I wish we had the system downtown, because you can wait an awfully long time downtown.
The reason that the mayor knows that it works fine going from here to Red Lobster is that he does not speed from...
That's right. Doesn't everybody obey the speed limits? Okay, we've got a motion and second. Show of hands, please, for approval. Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, under petitions. Number one, request from Aiken Community Playhouse for the city to share cost of upgrading the theater marquee and projector. Mr. LeDuc.
We have had a unique partnership with the Aiken Community Playhouse from the inception of the building. I think it's still known as the URS building?
For now.
Okay.
Hope it stays that way.
And over the years, we have partnered with them on several different improvements, and it's been very successful. Again, we own the building, and we have a long-term lease with them for this building. They have looked at a couple of changes that they'd like to make, and we are in agreements with them. One is on the marquee. Currently, every time the marquees change, you have to go ahead and put up the letters, and it's takes time. And we think we have a great opportunity. At one time, they looked at the marquee and said, we're going to have to take the whole thing down. It was going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And instead, they found a way to go ahead and fit in a digital electronic sign in there that could let you know about upcoming events and what currently is playing there. And we think it would be a great benefit for not only them, but the city in the future, to let the public know and those that are use the URS theater what is upcoming. So that is one of the things, is to cost share in the price for this new digital display, which would be $26,752, and the city would be paying for half of it, and they would pay for half of it. The other thing is the projector. The projector is used for some of their events. It's used for a lot of our events, probably more than even theirs. And again, this upgraded projector would be cost-shared on a 50-50 basis. So we have these two proposals. The money would come out of the accommodation taxes. It's not budgeted, but it would be coming out of the excess funds. Right now we have over $200,000 in reserves. We are doing very, very well this fiscal year. We're already about $40,000 over what we received this time last year in the first 3 months. So we do have the funding available if council would be willing to provide these funds. So the total cost that we'd be looking at is $15,451 for our share. And before I ask you to vote on this or answer questions, and I know that Thurman is here that could answer some of these things, one of the things we also discussed recently being probably a couple of months ago, was the possibility of allowing a nonprofit organization to use our space downstairs, the conference room, on a more continual basis, something that would be good for them and something that would be good for the city from a financial standpoint. And so I say that because not tonight, but in a future meeting, we're going to be discussing the further use of the space downstairs, maybe even the space upstairs, with ACP or any other nonprofit that would like to enter into a longer-term relationship with the city on these uses. So it's, again, it's ways of finding where we could save some money or make some money, depending on which way you want to look at it, better utilizing our facilities. So that's going to be upcoming. But tonight we're asking council to approve the $15,451 for the digital display and for the projector.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Discussion?
Yes, I have a couple of questions there. And I see Mr. Wade in the back there. All the discussion that we had about signs, I assume the lumens or whatever the new term for lumens is, this fits within the new sign regulations and everything?
Correct.
And how often does it change?
They could change a lot more often if we wanted to, but we do have regulations on how often it can change.
It can change more often than 10 seconds.
Right. But if you wanted to change more often, it could, but that's not the intent.
Right. Or you could do it every month.
Yeah, it could be every minute, every 5 minutes.
Well, I just want to be sure that we're aware of what's been happening here. The other thing, the projector, when somebody rents the building, the projector and all of that's included in the cost of the rent, or it's not an extra for using the projector, is it?
Currently, it is not. It's all, it's one price.
Okay. Is there an MOU or an operating procedure between the city and them and you and the key users, URS, and...
Yeah, it's about a 10-12 page agreement. I can't remember. I think it's been renewed since I left.
Has it been renewed recently?
I don't remember. 2 years ago.
It came to council for renewal.
Actually, the playhouse exercise is optional. It's in place as is, so it doesn't really require renegotiation.
All right, so it was just renewed. That was it updated for all the groups and everything? You know, things change in 10 or 15 years.
Thurman, could you come up so we can catch you?
Yeah, Thurman.
I'd love to hear your voice on the tape, especially with the new TV here.
Do I need to re-ask my question? Or?
Please, just in case. Wow, this is neat. yes, please, just in case I missed a point.
You have to say who you
yes, are, the question was, the MOU, has it been, with time passes, has it been updated to the current conditions with other users that have been using it? If there's some idiosyncrasies, in 10 years, something had to change.
From the side of the Aiken Community Playhouse Board of Directors, the memorandum of understanding was the same as was put in place originally. We did not ask for adjustments at the renewal date of about a year and a half to 2 years ago. I don't know about other renters. There is a, and probably Roger can speak to this better than I can, there is a rental contract that renters have to agree to. That can be updated without major change. If you want to add a fee, just add it. But again, that's not my world. My world is the playhouse side of the fence. But as far as the lease agreement, it was not adjusted. We did not see a need for an adjustment.
Is the lease agreement in the MOU the same piece of paper, or is that two different things?
There are two different things, and that's maybe where there's a little bit of confusion.
I guess
we have a memorandum of understanding with the Aiken Community Playhouse that allows them to use the facility on X number of days. We use it like the traffic signals we just talked about.
Yes.
Red days, yellow days, green days. The green days, they have full use of the building. Red days, we have a full use of the building. And then yellow days are, we could use the stage, the front part of it, but they'd have their sets and other things in the back portion of it. And through the years, the dates have pretty much stayed the same with the Playhouse on when performances have been added. The major difference with the Playhouse over the last number of years is the youth wing and the development and you know, the changes that are happening there. But we felt, and again, I'm speaking for the former administrator, manager here, that things, the agreement we had, amazingly, in 2001, compared to where we're at, there didn't really need to be any major changes. Now, when we, on the green days for us and the yellow days for us, in other words, the days that we could use it, we have a contract that we work with individuals that want to go ahead and use the facility. And that has changed over the years as we looked at prices and hours of operations and other things of that nature. And that constantly we're looking at on a regular basis. But we have a separate contractual agreement with the Playhouse. We have a separate contractual agreement with URS as to their use of the lobby, their use of the theater. They get so many available days during the year. I believe it was 10. They have never used 10. In return, generally URS helps decorate at Christmas time and do some other things. They contribute to helping to keep the facility cleaned up in their area. And so it's worked out fairly well over the years, to my knowledge.
Well, the reason I bring it up, as we've gone through my short time on council, as these agreements come up, we would typically look at them. Now, the MOU was an automatic renewal, or just the lease? I understand the lease.
The lease. The lease was an automatic renewal unless the Playhouse asked to renegotiate.
But the MOU
to renegotiate this year, last year.
Does the MOU have to come to council for review every 10 years or something? And I'm just curious because when we did the one for the Friends of the Railroad, we had a time frame. I think it was 10 years and renew or something there.
No.
Since I wasn't here during that time, I really couldn't tell you if it had to come before council. Obviously, it did not because it was renewed.
We can get that information, though, and look at it.
I can. I'll check on that with Roger later. So, okay, thank you, Thurman. That was my question for it.
Okay. I could just say one thing. I think the last time I was here was to speak in favor of going ahead with this downtown facility. I've been on the board most of the time that it's been around. We often tour theaters from other communities. They come in and check it out, and they all leave drooling and go, "How in the world did you merit such a great, great theater?" And we go,
"It is
pick
good.
Your town wisely." So we know we're very lucky here in Aiken.
We want to keep it that way.
Let me just add by Thurman's there that we have needed for some time that upgrade of the marquee and projector. And if you want to see something interesting, is to come out and see Vivian with that 1940s pole stick, and she's up there removing the letters and putting letters up to make it current with the event coming in. So we're happy to be in the 21st century coming up.
Yes, here. Vivian would appreciate 10 or 15 years from now not having to do that, I'm sure.
And I wish I was here when the MOU did come back up for renewal, because I would have brought it before council, not for any changes, but just to recognize the fact that we have such a great relationship and been able to work through some. I mean, anytime you enter into a marriage with another agency, a nonprofit, and with a for-profit, there it's fraught with some pitfalls that you can get into. And we did have some pitfalls, but we were able to work them out and to take care of the details, and the relationship from, at least while I was here as city manager, was an excellent relationship. And I'd like to thank Thurman and the board and everybody else with them. And I'm happy to hear that it did get renewed, because it has worked well.
It's been a model relationship from, I think, everybody's point of view.
It really was. What a major partnership made that happen, working together.
The only concern, and Thurman, I think, is aware of this, is utilization of the theater, which is why we're looking at this facility downstairs in terms of maximizing the use of the theater space, because there are more people that would like to have events. But then we've got the stage set up for rehearsal and those kinds of things. So depending on what we do downstairs, that will allow some relief for the theater, I think. So
it's possible, although, as Roger has said, there are contractual dates that allow the Playhouse to have 2 weeks before production. Mm-hmm. But we're very good about shopping around dates as long as we don't have a show on stage for that period. So it's this back and forth cooperation that's really made this work extremely well.
It amazes me how many productions you have and how wonderful they are.
It's a monstrously busy organization, thriving. Right. And again, thanks in large part to the city's support and cooperation with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who's the young gentleman you have with you?
Oh, this is Jimmy Moore, a locally famous name. Jimmy is our technical facilities manager this year, and doing a great job.
Well, thank you, Thurman, so much. Thank you both for what you do.
Thank you, Thurman.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any other discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay, item 2, approval to unfreeze employee positions. Mr. LeDuc.
These positions were in the previous year's budget. I mean, they've been in the budget for a long time, but these are vacancies that have occurred within the last few months. And so we have several in front of you. I apologize to staff. I know that there was a couple that came through last week that didn't get on the list. You haven't gotten an email back from me saying, "I'm sorry," so I'm sorry. But we'll get those at the next meeting for any other positions that have come open. But before you tonight is the accountant, facility assistant, maintenance mechanic, vehicle operators for various divisions here.
Okay. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
I second.
Okay, discussion.
Just one sort of unrelated comment. Today's headlines in the Aiken Standard weren't very good as far as the city of Aiken is concerned. We're going to lose our long-term manager, Lisa Hall. And you may recall we discussed several months ago concerns about her departure and the workload that she has, I would just suggest that we really work hard to get a suitable replacement, because that's a one-man shop, a one-person shop, one-girl shop.
Yeah, and one of the things that we have discussed as a staff is bringing someone in early before she leaves, because we don't want there to be a gap in this whole operation. For those of you that have daughters that have gotten married, that's a big deal when there's a wedding going on, and of course the events of the Hall of Fame and the story time and Christmas and Hope. There are just a number of things, and so we have talked to Lisa already about trying to fill that position a couple of months early to have that new person to shadow her for some time.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, all right.
I do have one other. When you just mentioned you're going to be bringing some others to council next time. Back in May of 2012, we authorized 5 new positions for, ENU now, and they were to be working, fixing water pipes and so forth. Are those in the system now?
You mean, are they still working water
system? Well, I just wondered if they, when I looked at the CAFI report, I didn't see 5 included in the numbers.
George, please come up here.
Nice try, George.
I know you don't want to be on TV, but everybody else wants to see your smiling face.
The process that we go through is we hire from temporary agencies to fill the positions, and then when we have had them employed for a certain amount of time, we're convinced that they will be good applicants, then we process them into the workforce. So we have them on. We have people on board. They just aren't hired permanently into the city yet.
So they don't show on the CAFI report?
They don't show on those reports but we do have the bodies in place.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you, George.
Also, before you leave, George,
sure.
Stay up here for a second, just in case I've said this incorrectly. Mm-hmm. In the new budget, the budget we're currently in presently, there are several positions that George had asked to fill concerning some additional crews to look at some of our sewer systems and water systems and to be fixing some of these areas and to do more exercising of the valves and those types of things that have not been filled. And at some point in time, we will bring those back to council. I, number one, wanted to wait and see how our water and sewer revenue mm-hmm. was going to come in during the summer months, and that has come in excellent rate.
Because those charged to water and sewer fund.
And those will be charged to the water and sewer fund, but those have not been filled because we have not released those from the new budget.
Thank you.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay, please. Great.
Okay, thank you, George. Okay, show of hands, please, all in favor of this approval of the okay, passage unanimously. Okay, annual report.
Mr. Mayor and Council, I just want to, you have an annual report. I'm sure you've all read through it, and you got probably marked up a number of questions already to ask us from this annual report, but in all seriousness, I do want to thank staff. This normally would have gotten to you probably a month to 2 months earlier, and I'll take all the blame for being so late. We've had some other issues that we've been dealing with. So a lot of work, a lot of time has been spent by the departments in getting this to you, and there is a lot of great information. So I'd like to just really thank staff for everything you do day in and day out, especially for the annual report.
Absolutely. Thank you, staff, for all you do every day. Okay, anything else?
I just want to, again, thank the Aiken Stand for their work in getting this proceeding televised. I think it's an effort to bring our proceedings to the public. We meet at a difficult time for a lot of people to attend the meeting, so this will be an opportunity for many people to see what we do and how we do it. And I hope we get some feedback. I hope the feedback is positive, but I hope the people appreciate our effort to become more and more transparent. We're one of the leading municipalities in the state in transparency, and this is another step in that direction. So thanks to all who made this happen, including staff.
Absolutely. Thank you.
One comment, Mr. Mayor, on issues and updates, and I think Mr. LeDoux covered it. One, you said once we get the bids in from the Citizens Park fencing, you would bring that to us for edification if we needed anything on financing. How about the Rye Patch Stables? That's out of Chapter 3.
Yeah. There are a number of projects, and we'll give you a recap. In fact, while we took our break, I had a moment to think about it. We'll probably have a work session next time at 6:45, and during that work session, we will take all these projects that have had interfund loans and other ones that we feel will happen sometime between now and February or even now and May, again, because we get a funds from the county in cycle at November, February, and May to you, so you can see the listing, because it's also going to have the alley in there. There's going to be some money spent on the Senior Youth Center, and there's some other projects that we'll be also looking at. So we'll try to outline how much and when the money needs to be borrowed and at what time.
I think that's important to because the cash flow we need to keep up with.
Absolutely.
There, and also the be sure that the projects we're doing pretty well follow the order that we said they would, that type thing.
So we'll have a work session a little bit early to recap the CPST funds
at
next meeting.
Three only, because we've already taken care of two.
6:45. Mm-hmm. I think it's 15 minutes.
Yeah. I said 6:45. If the mayor says that may not be long enough, there's not that much that we're going to be on this. It's one piece of paper that we'll be reviewing.
It should be more than two or three jobs. That's all the things on the schedule. 30
minutes a sheet of paper.
Okay, that's it.
We stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a matter from 1 to 2 minutes. Are you fixing